plenty of toilet paper. Oh, God. Plenty of food. And all the hand sanitizer anybody could ever use. Lord, I got them. Got them quarantine blues.
Welcome to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. Today we're going to continue the conversation about coronavirus. We'll hear the latest numbers from the U.S. and from Florida, which were updated this hour. We'll hear how local UPS workers are organizing to demand that their employees, that their employer, that is, provide better safety precautions. And we're going to take your calls as well. The number is 813-239-9663. You can also email us, dj at wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. And that was a song called Quarantine Blues. It was posted yesterday to YouTube by Chris Barron. Well, I was hoping to have a local Department of Health expert on the show today. We've been told that all interview requests have to go through the State Department of Health. So a week and a half ago, I put in the request. I followed up last Friday, but the State Department of Health did not make a health expert available to me today, to us, I should say, and that's a little concerning to me. Our listeners have questions, but the state is not making experts available. I find that concerning. I don't know how you feel. Well, let me tell you some of the numbers that I can tell you from the Florida Department of Health. It just updated its coronavirus numbers about an hour ago. They're still climbing. Right now, there are 1,171 positive cases of COVID-19 in Florida. There have been 14 deaths in the state. And here's an updated county-by-county breakdown. In Hillsborough County, there have been 73 positive tests. There have been 40 in Pinellas, 15 in Manatee County, 19 in Sarasota, 13 in Pasco, and 13 in Polk County. And looking at the national numbers, according to the CDC, as of this morning, there were 15,219 total positive coronavirus cases in the U.S. with 201 deaths. Although I'm getting different numbers at the ncov2019.live website, 465 deaths and more than 35,000 cases in the U.S. So here are some questions I'm going to ask you about when I open up the phones. I want to know your thoughts about two things. One is an editorial in yesterday's Miami Herald. The title is Coronavirus is Killing Us in Florida. Governor DeSantis, Act Like You Give a Damn. So that's a pretty strong title. In it, they write, unfortunately, DeSantis, who, despite trying to appear large and in charge in front of the microphone and TV cameras delivering coronavirus updates, has been a timid leader in the face of the growing scourge. And the other thing I'd like your thoughts on are closures. Do you agree with the Pinellas Sheriff and a recent Tampa Bay Times editorial that beaches should not be closed? Or do you think these steps are not far enough? The number one trending topic on Twitter in Tampa this morning was hashtag shutdown Florida. And on that note, Dr. Mona Mongat published an editorial column in today's Tampa Bay Times. It's called To Combat Coronavirus, Florida Needs a Stay-at-Home Orders Now. So let's start out the show with a press conference that just happened with Governor Ron DeSantis in the Village. So we're going to go up to the Villages, which is a retirement community in North Central Florida, to hear a little bit of what Governor DeSantis says. He specifically addresses near the end of this clip that I'm going to play, whether he's going to issue a shutdown order for the state. So we'll listen to this and then we'll take your calls. Again, you're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF. Midpoint Monday, it's 12:10 in the afternoon. We're also going to hear from a UPS worker who they're organizing an action to let their employer know that they want protection. But here's Governor Ron DeSantis, and we'll be right back.
But both the clinical and research tests are going to be performed at the University of Florida's lab, and results will be delivered in 24 hours. And you don't have to live in the Villages to get tested. But I want to thank UF because we had the issues with the different labs. When this all started, every sample that was taken in the state of Florida had to be sent to the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta. And that was a very cumbersome process. A lot of times you didn't even get results for a week. Then we were able to have certified our three state laboratories. But then since then, it's been liberalized so we can take advantage of these resources at places like the University of Florida. And that's a big, big help. It's a force multiplier. So this site is adding to a lot of sites that are being successfully run across the state of Florida. It's been a top priority to expand access to testing for people. This past weekend, or actually last Friday, I had the Florida National Guard partner with Broward Memorial in Broward County, which is one of the places where we have the most spread, to do a drive-through testing site. And we are hoping to be able to process 200 to 300 people a day, and wanted to try to do that. Well, I'm happy to report on day one, they ended up processing 745 samples. Day two, they did 701 samples. And then yesterday, they did 558 samples. And so that is open 7 days a week. And we really appreciate the Guard. We appreciate Memorial Healthcare in Broward County. We also have sites that are being supported by our federal partners. These are federally supported, state managed, and locally executed. And all three provide testing for individuals who have the symptoms and are in the advanced ages, and all first responders and healthcare workers that have direct contact with patients, regardless of the presence of symptoms. So yesterday we were in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium, kind of unveiling what was going to be done. But the beta test was to let all the first responders and healthcare workers go through. So they were able to take samples from 713 first responders or healthcare workers in kind of a soft opening. Now they're open and they're doing good stuff. So that is the city of Miami, the county of Miami-Dade, Florida National Guard, everyone coming together to work on these key issues. We also had a similar site that's federally supported in Jacksonville, at the Jacksonville Jaguars Stadium. Day one was 288 samples. Day two was 141 samples. They could have processed more. The traffic was actually pretty light. Maybe that's a sign that there's not as many symptoms in Northeast Florida. Let's hope that. But that's going to continue to be open and look to process as many tests as we can. And again, that's the city of Jacksonville, Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, Jacksonville Fire and Rescue, working with the county health department, and doing really a good job. So I salute them for that. And then another site is going to be opening on Wednesday in Orange County at the Orange County Convention Center. It's going to be a similar setup to what we have in Hard Rock Stadium in Miami and in the Jag Stadium in Jacksonville. There'll be more information put out about that. But we obviously want to expand access to testing for people in Central Florida. And I will say that if you look, as we've seen more infections, we've seen huge increase in testing from what we were doing just a week ago. Part of that is because of our efforts here, but a lot of that is because, you know, the hospitals are testing more. There's more access to different types of labs. And so people across the state are doing that. We've been working with hospital systems all across the state to do it. So I want to thank them for all the work that they've done. When we put the executive order to stop the elective surgeries, everyone was on board with that. We're maintaining, trying to preserve as much personal protective equipment as possible for our healthcare employees. And so all the hospitals get it. We have a situation in Florida where, you know, our occupancy, our available beds is actually in good shape. We obviously are planning for contingencies, but part of that is because they've really managed this well, and they are looking to see what happens, and they want to be able to handle what happens. With our nursing homes and ALFs, and I want to say most of them have been fantastic. Once we started to get more information on this virus early on, we started to get data out of these other countries, it was pretty clear that the people that were most likely to suffer hospitalization or fatalities were people who were elderly and or had serious underlying medical conditions. And obviously, if you had both, you were in a real danger category for it. And so once that happened, we knew our nursing homes and ALFs, the residents there, needed to be protective. So we issued very stringent requirements about access to those facilities. Center for Medicaid Services, they followed a few days later and did something similar. across the state, most of the folks are really working diligently. They're taking temperatures. They're asking where you've been. They're making sure if you have any type of symptom, you are not allowed near any of the residents. We did have one problem facility in Broward County, and we've got a lot of people on site there policing that. It's sad that it would come to that because you think you would want to do all you could to protect the residents. But that is something that is very, very important. We've also, with the ALFs and nursing homes, we want all nursing homes and ALF throughout the state to have enough personal protective equipment so that any staff member that interacts with a resident at least has one of those respiratory masks. We'd like them to have the gloves and the other stuff, but at least you have that. And so to begin this effort in the next 48 hours, the Department of Emergency Management and Department of Health will be sending out the following to facilities throughout the state. Almost 60,000 N95 masks, 141,000 procedure masks, almost 27,000 shields, 22,000 gowns, and 78,000 gloves. And so that is something that's very important, particularly given the demographic that we're looking to protect against COVID-19. Many of you seen, we've seen the numbers of Florida broke the 1,000 threshold for positive cases. But I would say if you look at those numbers, we're expecting that. We're expecting to continue to see more. That's just the nature of this, and partly the nature of when you're really expanding testing, you're going to see more cases. One thing we've noticed in the data is when we started this after the first few weeks, the number of people that tested positive had a hospitalization rate of almost 40%. So that was very problematic. Now that hospitalization rate is going down. It's now under 20%. The case fatality rate has gone down. We obviously assume there's more people that have it who don't have serious symptoms. And so those are just data points that we're tracking. But clearly, we don't want anyone to get it. But if you do get it, we want you to be in one of those groups where you're not going to be at risk of a fatality or serious hospitalization. And that's what a lot of our efforts are geared toward, protecting the most vulnerable. So we have a couple folks. I want to thank President Fox from University of Florida. When we asked them to help with this, they immediately responded. In fact, they were already doing things to try to help in this fight. We're proud of our research universities, and this is the type of thing that's tailor-made for them to really make an impact. And I think they're able to probably do some things that some of the local, state, or even federal agencies are not going to be able to do. And so I really applaud them for all that they're doing.
Are you close to doing shelter in place?
So we're looking at different options. So what we've done in Florida is we've done a lot of statewide what they call mitigation measures. You have bars, all these places closed, health clubs, and that's applying statewide. We still have in Florida, we got 20 counties with zero infections, and I think about 26 that have 2, 3, 5, 7 type infections. Now, that doesn't mean that can obviously change. But in those counties, we really want them people to get tested so that they can be isolated, and hopefully we can prevent outbreaks in some of those areas. Some of the areas that we've had more significant, there have been more stringent mitigation measures. I've imposed some in South Florida in conjunction with Broward County, and then Broward and Dade in conjunction with my office have done some things. So in South Florida, you have pretty much down to just essential operations. So we'll look at how that would apply statewide in terms of additional measures. But that's one of the reasons why we wanted the testing, so that we're actually doing this on good data. There's a lot of folks out there who are doing the right thing. And some of these things, I don't want to put somebody in a position where some type of an order, if they can comply, then they're going to suffer financial catastrophe, health problems. So there's whole chain reaction that could go to some of this stuff. And I'm also mindful, if you look at what happened in New York, when they did the stay-at-home order, what did people do? Well, a lot of people fled the city, and they're going to stay with their parents, or they're flying. We're getting huge amounts of people flying in. We're looking at how to address those flights. I talked to the president last night about that. So for every action, there's a reaction. So we're going to consider what would make sense for Florida. I do think we'll end up doing some more stuff very soon. But at the end of the day, you're going to have a group of people who are not going to comply and are going to put themselves first. And the fewer number of those there are, the better off we'll be. And there's people here in the villages, and most of the people throughout the state are seniors. You don't need any mandates. They will do what's recommended. They will protect themselves. I think you have another class of people, you know, who are just selfish. You know, you shut down the bar, they go to a house party. You know, you have no beach, so they go to a sandbar, which is technically not the beach. And so I would just say for those folks, you know, you need to cool it. And let's get through this, because the more stuff you're doing, the more difficult and longer that this may go. And I think that if we, you know, take good action now, then we're probably going to be better off, even in the immediate short term. But man, you have some folks, it's like a water balloon. You know, you pose a restriction, that water goes somewhere else, and they're always looking to do whatever they can to game the system. Yes, sir.
Well, that was Governor Ron DeSantis speaking about an hour ago in the villages. And I want to remind you that you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. And hey, I just gave out the website. That'd be a great place for you to throw in a tip to help keep the station afloat during these tough times. You know, a lot of people are relying on the radio as a companion when you're isolated. So if you can, and not everyone can, but if you can, throw a few dollars in the tip jar at WMNF.org and support the work we do. Well, as I said, that was Governor Ron DeSantis. It's 12:21 in the afternoon, and we are going to talk a little bit more about the coronavirus this hour, and we have a guest that's going to join us in just a second. One thing that I do want to point out about Governor DeSantis, and this goes to the questions that I was asking you about earlier, is that do you think that DeSantis has gone far enough? Yesterday's Miami Herald, the editorial said, coronavirus is killing us in Florida. Governor DeSantis, act like you give a damn. That was the Miami Herald's editorial board speaking there. And there's the hashtag shutdown Florida that's trending on Twitter today. Should it be shut down? And a reporter asked that. Will there be a shelter in place order? And DeSantis did not say that there would be. He said that the state will do some more stuff pretty soon, is what he said. All right, so right now I want to turn to some local UPS workers, because the workers are going to hold signs tomorrow morning to call for some simple protective gear like rubber gloves. So joining us on the phone right now is Gage LaCharity. He's a local UPS driver. Do we have you, Gage?
Yes, I'm right here, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for calling in. So what's going to happen tomorrow morning?
Yeah, so basically tomorrow morning we're going to be having a small demonstration. Over the last maybe week and a half, we've kind of been, you know, talking to coworkers, even talking to supervisors and managers about getting, you know, taking coronavirus seriously. You know, I mean, our main demands are sort of, you know, give us gloves, masks, hand sanitizer, et cetera. But what we want from UPS is for them to really start taking this seriously, because, you know, this has been really the only thing on the news for about 2 weeks. And they've done some things, but it really hasn't been enough to really protect UPS workers. So, yes, so tomorrow we're going to be having signs. We're going to be on the corner of 50th and Acline, which is about a block north of the 50th and Adamo, State Route 60 intersection. So there'll be a couple of us from our building. We're all going to work the morning shift, and then after that, as all the drivers are leaving to go deliver, we're going to be out there with signs, sort of just trying to communicate to our fellow workers, management, as well as the public, you know, just kind of what our concerns are, I guess.
And so we're talking about the area that's kind of a little bit east of the port, east of Ybor City?
Yes, exactly.
So you come into contact with a lot of customers every day, and a lot of those customers are staying at home because of their fears of coronavirus, yet you are handling all the packages that from wherever they came from in the country or the world, and you're also seeing all of these customers. What's that like? How are you protecting your health if your company has so far not provided these protections?
So a couple of they have allowed us to do a few things. So for instance, I delivered actually on Saturday to both Sun City Center, a retirement community, as well as a medical lab in the area. And really the only thing that we've really had as far as taking precautions are is they're not letting, we're not supposed to take customer signatures anymore. We're actually supposed to ride out COVID-19 in place of the signature. But other than that, yeah, it's actually very, that's a lot of people. Usually people come to the door and stuff like that. And luckily, most people have been staying away from the door. I did have a couple people try to touch the package or take it from me or whatever last time I drove. But, for the most part, people have actually been pretty good. In my experience, it's mostly inside the warehouse that I'm most concerned. And, for drivers in general, we're considered essential workers. And we're delivering to hospitals and delivering to, all kinds of people. So it's definitely, like a really big risk, not only, not only for us, but also for the public at large.
And I spoke with a friend in the Orlando area who's a UPS driver. She said the main thing that she sees as a need is a Lysol or wipes for the trucks and for the packages, and hand sanitizer, as you mentioned, before and after every stop. She says she would use hand sanitizer if it were made available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely. That is the type of precautions that need to be taken for sure.
So if people want to support you, would you like them to honk if they go by your demonstration, or remind people where it is again, please?
Yeah, so once again, the demonstration is going to be on the corner of 50th and Acre Line, which is just a block north of the intersection of 50th and State Road 60, Adamo. So if you want to drive by and give us a honk or whatever, that would be extremely appreciated. We're probably going to be, there's several online petitions as well that have been circulating around. I might send those to you, Sean, if you could like post those or something maybe. But other than that, we also have a toll-free number that we're going to start encouraging people to call into. Would you like me to list the number right now?
Yeah, sure, you can say it.
Yeah, so the number is just 1-800-742-5877. So it's 1-800-742-5877. Yeah, and if you're, if you're a concerned customer of UPS, this is definitely the type of people that should be reaching out. We really need to make this a big issue, put some pressure on UPS for them to really take this seriously. I saw over the weekend there was a op-ed in the New York Times, actually, about UPS drivers and coronavirus, and I saw Senator Bernie Sanders tweeting in support of it. I think that, we just need to keep the pressure up, pressuring politicians as well to take a stance on it, and hopefully we can get some results out of UPS. It's a $5 billion company, and it's pretty outrageous that they, once again, 2 weeks in, and we still don't have hand sanitizer, gloves, masks, Lysol wipes, all that. Our buildings should be getting sanitized every day, because there's so much stuff coming from around the world, not just the United States, but also Italy and China and South Korea and so many other countries where there are huge amounts of coronavirus cases. So yeah, definitely, if you want to call that number, come by and honk at us, sign the online petition. Those are probably the best ways that you can really show your support right now.
And what time is it tomorrow?
It'll be roughly like 9:30. It should be like when we get out of the morning shift. So it'll probably be somewhere, I would say, like 9:30-ish is a good time.
Well, Gage Shills Charity, thanks so much for joining us on WMS Midpoint today.
Appreciate it, Sean. You have a good one, okay?
All right, thank you, too. That's Gage LaCharity. He's a local UPS driver, and they're organizing a rally tomorrow morning around 9:30, a little bit east of the port of Tampa, a little bit east of Ybor City on 50th Street and about a block north of Adamo, I believe he said it was. And if you'd like to talk about that, you can call 813-239-9663. You can also email us, dj@wmnf.org. You're listening to WMNF's Midpoint Monday. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host on Mondays. And it's 12:29 in the afternoon. We're going to take your calls, and I'm going to ask the questions right before we go to the phone lines one more time. I'd like to know what your thoughts are on closures. Do you agree with the Pinellas County Sheriff and the recent Tampa Bay Times editorial that beaches should not be closed? Or do you think that those steps aren't going far enough? The number one trending topic on Twitter in Tampa this morning was #ShutdownFlorida. And Dr. Mona Manigat published an editorial column in today's Tampa Bay Times, says, to combat coronavirus, Florida needs stay-at-home orders now. I'd also like to know how you think Governor DeSantis is doing. Do you agree with the Miami Herald or disagree? their editorial board wrote a editorial that says, coronavirus is killing us in Florida. Governor DeSantis, act like you give a damn. 813-239-9663. I believe we have Carlos on line one.
Yes, sir. What you see on TV just for the show, reality is completely different. I challenge you to walk out of your studio and walk to the next gas station to you, and you will see the kind of protection that they are doing. Absolutely nothing. Zero. If it's up to me, open everything as it was before. Allow everything, because what they are doing, basically, it's ridiculous. Exactly what the truck driver was talking about. You go to Lowe's, you go to Home Depot, any big store, they don't even have sanitized wipes for their customers. You know what I mean? Those stores, they got thousands of people every day. Look, if they talk to those stores, if you cannot afford wipe sanitized, we are going to shut you down. Within a second, all those stores, they will have wipe sanitized. Look, they are not serious. Take the word from me. I mean, I'm outside. I'm all over the place. They are not serious about this disease, and I believe the result, they are going to be catastrophic. And so, if you don't believe me, take a walk and go just in your area and see what kind of protection. Zero.
I'm super confused about what you're saying, Carlos. On the one hand, you're saying that people are playing down the problem and that the epidemic and the pandemic is going to be a lot worse than people are saying. And on the other hand, it sounds like you're advocating for doing the exact thing that will make the pandemic worse, which is going out and being around other people. That will make the pandemic worse.
Yes, the reason what I'm saying, all what you hear on TV and do this and do that, it doesn't exist only on TV. Therefore, instead of putting a show on TV that we are doing, just go back and let everything as it was before, because the reality is there is nothing going on, and what they are telling you on TV, like everything is protected. It is just a show. That's all. What you see on TV, it is just a show.
I'm gonna go to the next caller, I think, but if you were trying to clarify and make it more clear to me what you're trying to say, it didn't work because I'm still as confused as ever about what you're trying to say. So let's go right now to Connie. Hi, Connie. Thanks for joining us on WMNF's Midpoint.
Thank you so much. I think if we take serious what we're witnessing via the reports of death coming out of other countries, look like a precaution would be to shut down everything until the scientific community and the pharmaceutical communities can come up with a viable, if there's a remedy for this, so we'll be able to move forward. But I want to just say this too, Sean, that, you know, life as we once knew it, that people think folks can live off of basic wages. When something of this serious magnitude come about and then people don't even have enough money for, say, 30 days food supply, could pay their rent 3 months. People thinking that a $9 wages is enough. It's not. And more important to me is the fact that we've been working on a criminal justice reform package where we've been trying to move forward to bring some relief to aged out, you know, older prisoners, and we can't get a release. I think this is an opportunity for everybody to do a self-examination in terms of moral, not just character, but humanity. What could we do better moving forward? And that's what I'm looking forward to seeing if I be around. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thanks, Connie. And that reminds me of one of the questions that Rob asked the sheriff the other day. Sheriff Cronister was on, and the sheriff let out some nonviolent offenders out of the jails to protect from COVID-19. And Rob was like, look, does that indicate that maybe they don't even need to be in there in the first place? Maybe we're just locking up too many people in general. And so that, as Connie mentioned, this might be a good opportunity to reevaluate things. I mean, if the economy is going to be shut down for weeks or months, and we're all going to have to kind of reevaluate how we do things, and maybe that would be one way to start. So thanks for that call, Connie. You still there? All right, I appreciate that call. I want to give out the number again. The number is 813 239 9663. You're listening to WMNF Midpoint Monday. It's 12:35 in the afternoon, and coming up at 1 o'clock is Latino 54. But I also should say that at 1:30, as Rob mentioned last hour, we are going to play live the Hillsborough County emergency group, and they're going to be making some decisions possibly about the future of Hillsborough County, the short-term future of Hillsborough County. So hope you can stay tuned to that at 1:30 and listen to that. Well, we have some other people on the line. I want to also give out the email, which is dj@wmnf.org, and you can text us 813-433-0885. And let's go to the next person. Maybe we'll go to, so Rob in Thanota Sassa.
I'm here, Sean.
All right, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I think the beach shutdown is necessary, and in fact, there should be, if people can't do it voluntarily, other than, you know, essential things, I think a sort of shutdown would be called for, because it's really the only way you're going to stop this, you know, is to let it burn itself out and keep everybody away from each other, you know. Also, I wanted to add that people should just please not be so selfish. Like when I went to the local Winn-Dixie, they actually had to have a cashier sitting by the door handing out wipes because people were stealing them out of the dispenser. You know what I mean? Everybody gets a wipe. Just people be civil, you know. And the toilet paper issue, it's absurd. You know, they had, luckily I was got there right when they had a new shipment. Can I have one? We're giving out one. I said, you know, that's great. That's exactly what you should do. So they're actually rationing them, because otherwise you'll have people buying up 10 packets, you know, 100 rolls. And they said, yeah, well, you should hear some of the customers complaining because they only got to buy one. So let's not to go out and make this bring out the ugly side in people. Everybody try to only take what you need and try to refrain from hoarding and things like that.
All right, well, thanks. I agree. Take what you need. So let's go to Christine. Thank you for that call, Rob, in Thanota Sassa. We'll go to Christine. Where are you calling from, Christine?
Driving on I-4, and I had to pull off because there's been several accidents. But I agree with everything that you're saying. I just drove through some beautiful country in Plant City and did notice that all the farms, the workers on the farms, the migrant workers, are huddled in buses. I mean, I probably passed 3 or 4 different farms working close together. You see them out there together and on the buses taking them home. So it was something that I hadn't even really thought about. Yesterday when we were in Orlando, I bought some strawberries and didn't even really think about that until I just saw what I just saw. And I don't know if anyone's even addressing, you know, the people that are helping us get our food. And if something happens to that population, you know, we're going to be pretty stuck without having anybody to help us harvest some of these, you know, the farms that are producing right now. I don't know. I just thought that was important to mention.
Exactly. The farmers who are employing these migrant farm workers are actually not being very responsible by packing them together. So, you know, they're not practicing social distancing.
Certainly not. I didn't see any social distancing. Now, of course, I wasn't close enough to see they were handing out wipes or anything, but I saw a line of probably 30 to 40 people getting off a bus, and it just was pretty alarming, since you just see so much. In other situations, people are so far apart, but in that situation, it was pretty alarming. So I just wanted to mention it, and I think everything you're talking about is really important, and we're actually from Idaho visiting, relocating to Orlando. What a time to be relocating.
Oh.
I've definitely noticed, we were staying in a hotel and we have to eat out every night. And some people are for sure following all of the rules. But then, you know, we'll go to a Starbucks or a Chipotle and all the employees that are, you know, on the younger side are all huddled together inside. And it's alarming.
Well, I'm glad you called. I'm glad you found our station, and welcome to the state.
Thank you.
All right. appreciate the call, Christine. Thanks so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye. And we're going to go in just a second to Patty in Sarasota, who's been holding for a while. But first, I want to remind you that you are listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa. We're talking about coronavirus. Of course, we've been talking about it for a while now, but it's important. Just want to remind you that Florida now has 1,171 positive COVID-19 cases, and there have been 14 deaths. There are 73 positives in Hillsborough and 40 in Pinellas counties. Also, I want to know how you think Governor DeSantis is doing, and I want to know whether you think that more things should be closed in Florida. 813-239-9663. Thanks so much for joining us, Patty.
All right. I've been waiting. I'm like, okay. So I wanted to address what you said about Governor DeSantis. I think technically he's doing a good job. He's remaining calm. Evidently today he said they're having the portable hospitals or whatever set up around the state. I think considering what's happening, he's doing pretty well. And I'll tell you, here in Sarasota, if you can drive down our little Osprey Avenue between 5 and 545, and it's like the dead of summer, even less, things are working here as far as there aren't a lot of people out and about. If we were sure that heat was a hostile environment to this virus, if they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, then perhaps if you're on the beach in 88-degree weather, whatever we're getting now, sweating, maybe it wouldn't be so unsafe. But until they know that definitively, obviously people shouldn't be near each other. As far as UPS goes, it's appalling that they do not have sanitizer and gloves for these people. And one other thing I wanted to say, you know, there's social distancing, but I'm practicing social fumigating. I take a bottle and you put the 60%, if you have any, of alcohol. If you do not, you can use hydrogen peroxide. You can use Dawn soap and water a little bit so that it's not super sudsy. You can spray on yourself, around yourself, with, if you have any, if you don't have enough hand sanitizer, even a little bit, if you happen to have in your house alcohol, you spritz a mist bottle. You spray wherever you go. So you, in a sense, you're using the sanitizer in the air. Those UPS drivers should have a good amount of that so they can spray the cardboard and the plastic. They should have it in the warehouse. They can mist and spray cardboard and plastic with high alcohol percentages. It will kill it, right? Because hand sanitizer is 60% alcohol. There are creative ways to do this. So what they should be doing is having that kind of thing all over the UPS warehouse. The driver should be carrying this. I got pizza the other night, two plastic bags and the pizza boxes. I sprayed the man's money down with this mist I make. I also use essential oils. Oregano is very caustic to viruses. I sprayed the man's money because I didn't want to hand him dirty money. We were using cash. I told him to drop it on the ground. I handed out the money. And I said, thank you very much. And then I simply took my misting bottle full of alcohol and oils, sprayed the boxes, misted, let it dry on a little table out there that I had sprayed, and brought it in. So there are methods to sort of be in a killing mode, constant sanitizing mode. You keep these things in your car. You can mist yourself, like around your, close your eyes, around your face and neck, on your clothing before you go in anywhere. People aren't thinking of this, and these big companies, they're dumb as a stump if they haven't thought of this. And one last thing. I am praising the Lord for the governors of this country. You have to admit, all of them are, they have brains, they're doing really well, because if we left it to dumb, we truly would be doomed, and that's all I have to say.
Patty, yeah, one thing, and that's going back to when you mentioned about the heat killing the virus, and typically that's true. A lot of coronavirus illnesses are less severe during the summer. But here's my issue, or my concern about that being our one, saving grace, is that it's summer, or just at the end of summer in Australia right now, and they have an outbreak, and that's where Tom Hanks caught the coronavirus.
Right.
So not positive.
Like
Right. Well, I'm glad you brought up those points. Thanks, Patty.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We're going to transition to Karen now. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Sean.
Thanks for calling.
I don't think DeSantis is doing a good job, okay? I think that we were behind the curve in the restaurant thing, I had a friend in Michigan, and they only had 45 cases, and we had like triple that, and they were shutting down restaurants up there. I think that we need to shut this down. We need to take measures like South Korea has taken, test everybody, isolate people. Otherwise, it's just going to keep spreading. It's going to continue to spread. You had another question.
Oh, to close everything.
The other thing is I'm just disappointed with our government. I mean, what is this day six of them trying to put together a stimulus package and ventilators and face masks for, and they're not making a decision. This is ridiculous. It's ludicrous, and it just all around sucks.
All right, yeah, definitely. And we'll see. Maybe they'll hammer out something today, but the whole situation is kind of pretty nerve-wracking. All right, thanks so much for your call.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Karen. I'm going to go right now to Kirk, who's been holding on the line. Hi, Kirk. What's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going, Sean?
Doing great.
I'm a medical. Thank you. Good. I'm a medical device distributor from Central Florida in Lakeland, and so I have these KN95 masks that I am able to access, and 90% of these masks come from China. So the point I'm getting to is I emailed Senator Ben Albritton. He's my representative in Congress for Polk County, and they actually sent me back an email saying, no, we're only looking for an N95 respirator mask. And what's so bad about this is that the CDC, I had to cut and paste a link from the CDC back to Senator Albritton's office saying, you know, here is the CDC's guidelines and their strategy of dealing with this. And that those masks that you're waiting for don't exist. There's 300 million masks that they're producing every year, but there's 7 billion people. And obviously the need gets spread around. So the CDC made these guidelines, and it apparently, I would contradict that maybe the state is well-informed.
Okay. I don't know very much about the two different types of masks. I've been hearing the N95 masks, but I don't know about the other one. So thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, listen, the filtration rate is the same. I'm trying. I know this sounds, I don't want to be salesy, but the point of this is that we're trying to get these masks out to all the healthcare practitioners, frontline practitioners, and it seems like they're being shoppy and picky about this. And so by the time they respond with all the bureaucracy, I feel like, frontline people may be at risk. Anyway, that's my thought. Thanks, Sean.
Kurt, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. I want to remind people that you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. You might also be listening on the WMNF app. And I'm glad that you're listening. I'm glad you're out there. I hope you're keeping social distance and that we can come together as a community on the radio rather than in person for the time being. And I'm going to go back to the phones in just a minute. I have a couple of people on the line, but I want to read an email or two. Here's an email that came in. It's a text from the 727 area code. It's not signed. It says, I don't understand the long-term plan for this virus. Let's say the U.S. is clean and no more virus. Then we return to normal with people coming to America from all over the world, and it starts all over again. So that's an interesting question, and to some degree, it sounds really pessimistic, but in some degree, it's kind of true. The hope is, though, that there will be the infection rate will be a lot lower each time because more people have had it and will be immune, and it will be kind of a long-term rumble. The key, I think what most public health experts are trying to do right now is to make sure there's not a huge spike right this right now in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a huge spike that overwhelms the hospitals. Will it be something that we have to deal with for a long time? Probably in low levels. So I think the answer to your question is yes. And I hope I explained why. So here's another text from the 813 area code. Oh, I'm getting the second of two, so that doesn't help me much. All right, well, let's go to the phones. The number is 813-239-9663. And we have, I think this is a different Christine. Hi, Christine.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Did you call earlier?
Hi. Yes, I did. Christine, I actually live in two counties, and I was going to try to stay on topic, which I thought was, how do you feel about the closing of the world?
Okay.
So that said, obviously there are many factors. However, in my opinion, first of all, let me start with, in both counties, people have been respectful. In traveling, the amount of people on the road is reduced by about, gosh, I mean, I bet 75%, what I found in the past two trips that I've taken in the past week back from home to home. And it seems that people are being really respectful in both counties. The reduction even of the traffic on your local highways and is reduced dramatically as well. Without sounding rude, I think it's a slippery slope. And I think the fact that this country could turn over so quickly can be dangerous in the future, and that our future will not ever be the same. And we know we always hope that people are going to be respectful and do the right thing. I think if you're well and you don't have anyone that is at home that is high risk, then being kind and going out for essentials is the best plan of action. However, I just think it was very quick that this nation could roll over and allow the government to tell us to mandatory stay home. And I'm shocked that... Are you still there?
I am.
Okay. I'm shocked that other people are referring to places such as North Korea. And, okay, just so quickly, yeah, that's great. Send everybody home, make them stay home. That's shocking to me. That's very anti-American, in my opinion. So
let me ask you this, since it's something that we're all going to have to wrestle with. What if that is the only way that we can stop this from overwhelming the hospitals, is that we have to accept a temporary curb on our liberties to move? I mean, it's a serious thing.
Absolutely, and that is exactly why... I guess it's been about 10 days now I started being more considerate and only going out for my basic needs because of the impact on hospitals. And let me say this, as a non-insured individual for the last 11 years of my adult life, if I were an insured individual and I didn't have the health care that I've been paying for all these years, I can't believe nobody's discussing this. I would be livid. So I don't know the solution. I do understand the reason why we're buffering. Of course, I have friends and family in the medical field. I'm very concerned about them, keeping my distance from them, obviously. And so I do understand that, but I just don't know the answer. I think that we're 10 days in across the nation, maybe even 13 days. We've had to make some difference. But again, like the gentleman in the email said, what's the end? Where's the end? Does isolation really stop this virus? We don't know. And there's lots of stats that show it starting back in December and January, and then there's other information that goes all the way back to 2016 and 2013. So I don't know if I answered your question, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having this discussion. All right, thank you, Christine. Appreciate you calling in.
Thank you so much for your time, and you stay very well.
You too. 813-239-9663. It's 12:54 in the afternoon here on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. You're listening to Midpoint Monday, which is a call-in show and an interview show. And earlier we heard from a UPS worker who is helping to organize a sign-waving event tomorrow to encourage his employer, UPS, to provide more safety equipment for the workers. That's tomorrow morning on near the corner of Adamo and 50th Street in Tampa. And we're also talking, we also heard from the governor, Ron DeSantis, talking in the villages this morning about the latest in the outbreak. There are more than 1,000 cases so far in Florida. And we're taking your calls. And we're going to hear, in just a minute, we're going to hear from Jeff, who is a delivery driver. But before I do that, I want to read a couple of emails. This person from the 813 area code writes, I feel this question is very important. What happens when the hurricanes come and wipe out a community? Will that spread this and make it a tough situation? I hope that by hurricane season, which officially starts in, what, two or three, about 3 months, 2.5 months, about two months, actually, a little bit more than 2 months. I hope by then that the worst is over and, you know, we're back to our normal lives. And if a hurricane does come, it'll be a huge inconvenience, but I hope it won't affect the virus situation, but who knows what will happen by then. And, let's go back to the phone lines. Jeff, you're a delivery driver?
Yeah, I am. And that's actually not why I'm calling.
Okay.
I found it hysterical to listen to the governor's speech that you opened up the show with, talking about the majority of people in the village, they're older people, and they don't have to have rules put on them. They know what to do. These are the same people that have the leading rates of STDs in the state of Florida. If you haven't mastered out at the age of whatever, not how to get STDs, and my father has been staying, he's a snowbird. He's been down in the villages since January, leaving at the end of the month. And, you know, it's because it's a Trump fest there. He's thinking, oh, I think they're making way too much out of this. You know, these people are setting themselves up to die. And it's just, it amazes me that, you know, we're ascribing, you know, intelligence with a group of people that, you know, are in the hive mindset there. It scares the hell out of me. I mean, it's my daddy, he's 82. I'd like to see him make 83. But with that whole mind hive they've got there, we're just not going to see longevity out of these people after this. They don't have any idea what's coming their way.
And all right, thank you. Thank you for those thoughts, Jeff. And Bill from Pinellas Park emailed in a similar comment about how they have a high, very, very high, the highest STD rate. So to rely on their, Jeff said it all. So, all right, thanks for that comment. We have Jay. Jay, are you there?
Yes. Yes.
All right. What's on your mind? Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I was watching CBS last night before 7 o'clock and was watching the president go off in tandem. And CBS cut off and said they were bringing the programming and bought an informative program on 60 Minutes and watched it for about half an hour. And it was talking about how they're trying to find a vaccine for this virus. And it was much more entertaining and plus informative to see that than watch the president make a mockery of news media. I just wanted to pass that on. And hopefully, if he keeps on doing it, people will get the notion to bring on the 25th Amendment, bring him out of there. Thank you very much for your time in this informative station.
All right, Jay, thanks for that call. And, I think Rob made a comment in a similar vein last hour about how, we really should be hearing from experts like we heard on 60 Minutes rather than just hearing from politicians. And some of them are self-aggrandizing more than they are actually educating us about this. Well, we're running close to the top of the show. Let's see if we can get Barbara on before the end of the show. Hi, Barbara. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi there. You're on the air.
Okay, great. In my effort to learn more about this, I found this very interesting book. It's called Herbal Antivirals, Natural Remedies for Emerging and Resistant Viral Infections. It's by Stephen Herod Buhner, B-U-H-N-E-R. And there's just so much information. When you hear that information on television, they're just telling you about a virus. But when you really have more understanding about it, it just helps you to deal with it more effectively. They also, nutrition is very helpful, that if you do have the virus or get the virus, that at least your body, maybe your immune system will be strengthened and it won't be as serious. So I'm just in the process of reading this book. I just got it from Amazon last night, and I just find it so helpful that I thought it might be interesting to a lot of the people out there.
All right, I appreciate you telling us about it. Thank you, Barbara. And as we end the show, I want to remind people that the Hillsborough County Emergency Policy Group will meet today at 1:30. It will discuss continuing actions in response to the COVID-19 coronavirus. And we will carry this meeting live at 88.5 FM in a half an hour if you'd like to listen. We're going to have music, I believe, in the next 30 minutes. I will say it's Latino 54 with Franco Silva. I'm not sure. It might be Flea, but we'll definitely have some great music in the next 30 minutes and then the meeting at 1:30. I want to thank everyone who called, emailed, and texted today. I think we had a great discussion. And thank you to my guests as well, my guests. And if you missed any of the show, you can listen to it on our website at wmnf.org/news. You can also join the conversation on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or Instagram at WMNF News. And I really want to thank our engineers. Alvaro Montealegre, DT, Frank Knox really made this show possible today. I appreciate them very much. And I appreciate our listeners. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sean Canaan. Tomorrow at noon, your hero, Mark Bureau, will host Midpoint Tuesday. Stay tuned for the music coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Lakeland. Thanks so much for listening, and be safe and practice social distancing.
It's not the end of the world. Unless, of course, it is. Or she had the head down quarantine blues.